From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry. If something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And joining us this week is Ava Powell, Managing Director of the Asia Market and TV Chef. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, like, I think most people are, certainly if you're around Dublin, you know about Asia Market and you know about Drury Street. But it started as a much, because we see it now, and I remember the first time I walked into it, I thought, oh, it's this little small shop. And then you go back and it's like Narnia. It just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, yeah.
But it started as a pretty small operation,
it
was
did.
It?
It did. So it started in the early 1980s, but it was also on Drury Street, but in a smaller location on Drury Street. So, you know, the front part of the shop now, that was as big as it was.
Oh, right. Okay.
Years ago. But I guess it shows the interest in Asian food. I mean, in the early 1980s, there wasn't that much a presence of Asian food. You know, it was really the only start of the Chinese food, the Chinese takeaways, you know. So having a small Asian store, it was really to supply to the local Asian community. We weren't thinking of, people weren't looking for coconut. People weren't looking for like a Thai curry paste, you know.
I think I remember going into it long, long ago because when I was a student, used to live on Stephen Street, which is around the corner from here and just around the corner from the Asian market. So it was like one of our local supermarkets. But when I went in, am I right in thinking there was no sign? There was have I got the right place? Because this doesn't even look like it's real. And then you go in and it is a bit of a treasure trove. But it was like really low key.
You are completely correct here. Like basically the front of the shop was empty.
Yeah.
Like I actually don't know.
I was really confused.
I know, because I remember when I first arrived back to look after the business, I remember, yes, the front of the store was empty. And I remember like talking to people around the area. They were like, yeah, we always thought, why people are going into the store and coming out? They just didn't know what it was. Like, you know, it didn't scream like this is a supermarket. It screamed like this is an empty shop. And
this
then you see lots of Asian people walking in and then walking back out with a bag of stuff.
This was in the 90s and I was quite confused. But then you go in and it genuinely was like a treasure trove. And we saw food there that certainly I grew up in Wicklow. You just didn't see, like, you know, ingredients. And as somebody who likes cooking, it's quite exciting. It's still quite exciting.
Yeah. So I guess when I arrived back, that was one of my missions, to kind of really gather all the marketing part, you know, where creating the brand, you know, creating the yellow color and making it yellow everywhere, you know, so that when people saw it, that it was more recognizable. So because literally at that time it was like a white shop front with silver words.
Yeah, because you and as well, just on your own personal journey, because this was obviously your parents that started and you were involved in the early days, but I didn't know you were a banker.
Yeah, I know. Don't I look like a banker?
You do not look like a banker.
No, I mean, I think, you know, at that time I arrived in Hong Kong, you know, and it was the most exciting place ever. You know, I really loved the buzz. You know, it was a huge melting melting pot of all people from all walks of life, you know. And I remember arriving in, like, my background is actually in IT, so I studied like computer science, and I remember arriving over and actually, you know, 70 to 80% of the jobs were in finance. It was in banking. So it didn't really matter what background I had. When I was looking for jobs, that was the main pool of jobs. And I was like, yes, I'm happy to try this out, you know. And I actually really, really enjoyed it. It was like really long hours, but, you know, there was the resting part and, you know, you really worked hard and played hard, you know. And I think it was the best time of my life. And all the people that I met there now are really good friends.
That is an adventure. And you really want that. I think the work hard, play hard thing is a...
You're still doing
it.
You're still at it, Kira. Would you still?
Okay, but I'm a bit of an oddball. But anyway, so you did that. But then what drew you back home?
Yeah, I mean, I remember like going on a trip with my parents to visit some suppliers in Southeast Asia. And that really reignited my passion for being back in food. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to, and I was actually burning out also in Hong Kong. I really was. So I was thinking, you know what? I'll just come back home and see what it's all about. So, but when I came home, I really felt that I really connected with it. You know, it was like, it felt like my parents had, you know, been giving me all that knowledge about food, and the food surrounding me when I was younger all made sense, you know.
At what point did it start to tip from being, say, mostly the Asian community or supplying takeaways or whatever to actually the Irish public cottoning on to, oh, do you know what? Miso paste is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean, because when I came back after kind of working on branding part, I was like, well, I need to bring all these ingredients and try to demystify it, because people coming into the store, they were literally going, what are these? And then I'd see them pick up something and then set it back down. And I really wanted to demystify the store. So I ran kind of tours of the store, and I'd bring groups around showing them the ingredients, explaining how I usually use it. These are the key ingredients if you were doing like cooking Japanese food or Korean food or Philippine food, Chinese food. And then it all kind of fell in place. Like, you know, I started to, like, that was my mission, basically, to demystify these ingredients. And then all the online started, you know, where it was like the social media, the online. So then I was shooting videos and, okay, yeah, like creating recipes for like, okay, miso paste. Besides using it for miso soup, what else can you use it for? Because the thing that you don't want is like you have the ingredient in your pantry. Mm. And then it's like, well, I only use it for this one recipe. You want to be able to use it for more. And that's why all these fusion recipes come out, because, you know, you're kind of going, well, you want a pasta.
You're quite into the fusion, aren't you? Like, you mix with Asian spices, cheese and pasta and other things that obviously traditionally never went together.
No, but the thing is, I find it so exciting because, you know, it's taking a technique, it's taking an ingredient that is used in maybe an Italian, you know, but mixing it with the Asian ingredient, and you can find it really surprising. Like, I mean, in the second season of Viva House Asian Kitchen, like I mix it with oyster sauce and Parmesan cheese with a pasta. And it really is just so delicious, you know, and it's addictive. Like when I first put it together, I didn't think it would work either. And then, you know, when it did, I was like, yes, this is addictive. Everybody should know about this.
I'm going to have to try that. Tell us, you mentioned the TV there. How did you get you? Because so you went from, you obviously had this career, you traveled, you were a banker, you were in finance, you came home, you had the family business there to go into. But then how do you make the leap from that to television?
Yeah, well, when I first came back, and then I started to demystify and do tours, and then I was asked to do, I was doing kind of morning shows. I was doing Ireland AM. And then from that, I was doing that for many years. I was doing that for 6-7 years, you know, and then a production company got in contact with me and said, would you like to do your own show? And I was like, absolutely.
You know, let me bite your hand off, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was like, absolutely. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And that's how it started, you know.
And obviously that's a new whole other avenue now, because media is a different beast again. And do you see that going forward and getting bigger, like cookbooks and all the stuff that go with having your own show?
Yeah, so I'm actually launching my cookbook at the end of this year in October, and you can actually pre-order online now. So it's on all platforms, like in Easons or Dubai or Amazon, anything, all the platforms. So yeah, so I think having the cookbook will be, you know, it's something where it touches on the recipes I love making at home.
Kind of brings everything together, doesn't it? Because I am a divil for watching both online and indeed on television cookery shows and recipes. And I store them away in the back of my brain. Oh, I must make that. And then I don't make it. Mm. But at least if you have a book, you have it there so you can dip in and dip out to the recipes that you love. And
exactly.
It's kind of a logical next step for you, I think.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's like our store. It's not like just a Chinese store. It's actually, it's Asian, where it touches on like Japanese cuisine, Korean cuisine, you know, Philippine cuisine, Malaysian cuisine. And that's what the book is about as well, where it touches on, you know, the first chapter is rice, but it's rice from all angles.
Yeah, because a lot of people probably have one view, or they have one way they make it of, oh, this is Asian cooking, completely ignoring that Asia is massive.
It's like a single France and Italian cooking.
Yeah,
is the exact same.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's not at all.
German, you know? That's all the one, isn't it?
Yeah. So I suppose with that, you've got everything coming along. When you get people out to the store, there's such a huge choice that's there. How do you go about curating that? Because again, you were talking about going on the trips with your parents. Like, how do you select, this is something that will work really well in Ireland?
Yeah, that's really quite interesting because, you know, I go to the food shows and then I think, okay, well, I love that, you know. But sometimes I really, honestly, like I have brought in things that it's like, it didn't work at the time, but maybe a year or two later, it worked, right. You know.
Are we getting more adventurous Irish people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, one of the top selling products that we have is seaweed, like seaweed snacks.
Right.
And
I always thought you were going to say one of the top products you have is spice bag mix because that's real fusion now.
But the thing is,
the chipper chips with the
noodles, Korean noodles, even, you know, that is like a top seller. So like I'm also surprised to see that, wow, like people like we've moved on a lot, you know, from just the chips and
you know, from the Irish Chinese, which is not food, Chinese at all.
No, you know? It's not. Maybe lastly, how do your family view all of this, because you've you're a bit of a phenomenon now. You've become hugely successful. The market has grown, and you've got the huge warehouse out in it's more than a warehouse, but the huge leg of it out in Ballymount as well as Drury Street. But then the books and the telly and all this. How do they look at it?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't actually asked them that before. And
I'm sure
they're
very proud, is what I guess.
I think in an Asian family, you know, they or the way my parents, when I grew up, like, you know, they don't really say all the positive, like they don't pat you on the back and go, oh my gosh, you did well. Like that doesn't really happen in my family. It's okay. more like you know, oh, something went wrong, or it goes very quiet, you know, they don't really say much. And then and the thing is, I guess because I grew up in that family, that, you know, I don't look for it either. I don't look for like a pat on the back from my parents. I just kind of keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I keep going to the next.
Like, that
I
sounds
keep,
like Ireland keep in the 80s, right, to be honest.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It sounds very relative to Irish that you just don't get the praise.
The positive,
but you'll know if you've done it wrong.
Yes, yeah. Positive parenting is a relatively new thing here, I think, as well.
Well, we can give you all the praise because...
Yeah, well done.
Yeah,
thank
the
you.
TV show's fantastic. The food's fantastic and people can check it out and get the cookbook later this year. Ava Powell, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Delighted to have you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.